This is Nick and Neil on behalf of the SRA, and we are joined by Jody Abacus, fresh off the main stage. How was that for you?
It was amazing. The energy from the crowd was great. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the set. And I feel privileged to do Truck Festival. This is the first time. Is this the first time it's ever been around?
No, it's been here for quite a few years, I believe.
Never heard of it, so, you know.
Good to do a new festival?
I feel privileged always. You know, this is great to just be here and to see people singing the songs and knowing the lyrics. It's quite pleasing. Yeah.
Certainly seemed to lift the spirits, because obviously it's been raining up until you came on, and I think that certainly changed things.
And then it stopped raining.
Brought a bit of sunshine to us.
Yeah. Usually when I step out of the house, it starts raining. So, yeah, there you go. There's the math in that. So, yeah. It's been a great time. I had a great 25-30 minutes set, and it was awesome. Hopefully they go away feeling satisfied with my performance and that, and hopefully I did my best. Yeah.
On the topic of your set, you played a song in there which I think was called Space Buffalo. What is a space buffalo?
Space buffalo is metaphorically speaking, is someone who's lost in the wilderness, in the Lonely Hearts Club, is finding it difficult to find love. So that was my metaphoric way of writing that song, to say that someone's just lost in space and can't find love, you know. And it was a bit in it where it goes, there's some water for you, so eventually it will happen, you know. Is you go to a stream and you'll be able to like find some water. So I was using the reference of water as if to say you'll find something soon.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah.
Because a lot of your songs have like a real feel-good factor to them. Is that something that you intentionally wanted to have, like all nice songs, or have you got some soppy songs that you're saving?
I think my art kind of imitates my life. It's full on. So what happens is if you hear, I tend to live life without, you know, fear, and try and take the good with the bad, you know, the bad with the good. So anything bad that happens, I usually try and be humorous about it, or just look at things a different way, and to try and be positive about everything. So when you hear a song might sound pretty dark, but I might translate it into sounding happy. Like the lyrics might not actually mean something serious, like you're gonna die or something, but I'll be like I've got a song called Liquor Store Day, and in the verse it goes, in one of the verses says that I should go home so I could beat my wife again. But the song sounds happy. But really, if I'm playing it, people say, did you just say, I should go home so I could beat my wife again? I said, yeah. But it sounds happy. So you got the two contrasts. But I think how I write is how I kind of possibly emit my personality, I think, I hope. And normally, like, the song of I'll Be That Friend, the star, I'll Be That Friend, sometimes I feel like I'm a jar of honey. So I'm mostly upbeat and happy most of the time. You know, so
that song you just mentioned, I'll Be That Friend, which you finished with, it's a really, really upbeat, happy song, great song to finish with as well, and that's got a really great response on things like Spotify as well. I checked yesterday and it had well over 1 million hits. Is that something that
you... I look around streaming it all the time. It's just 1 million streams. no, it's one of those songs where you know, I wrote it out of just at my lowest point in life, to be honest. And I was alone. I felt really lonely, and I just how I felt just translated into how do I give myself a hug? I need to give myself a hug. I don't know what to do anymore. I just need someone to give me. I felt like if I could go out of myself and come and give myself a hug, I could. And out of that came that song. You know.
Who did you listen to when you were growing up?
It's kind of my mum and dad's fault for leaving the radio on, and whether it be in the car or it would be at home on a Saturday afternoon whilst we was cleaning or doing chores. So it would be like stuff like Stevie, Hall & Oates, old radio stations. Or my dad used to have a DJ, Dex, and he used to play a lot of like old pop songs, funk songs, reggae, you name it, anything that sounded good. So I pretty much had, and my brother, older brother, used to listen to hip hop. So I used to get, my mum used to listen to reggae, my dad used to listen to funk and soul. So I used to get the whole mix, country and western as well. So just to get the whole mix of everything. So, and Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson.
I certainly get those sort of like soul and funky and R&B influences through, and I think there's a real sort of gap in the market for that, particularly in Britain as well. Is that something that you tried to exploit?
All I've wanted to do is make great music. That's the only thing I wanted to do, and just make people feel happy, and to try and get, my goal is to try and get it to as many people as I possibly can. And to, I like seeing responses like, I listened to your song today and it made me happy. There's nothing more rewarding than that, because I could believe that, you know, if I'm writing a song, especially if I'm translating something or emitting something, honestly, I believe that you have the power to help change someone's life, you know, to make someone make a decision, a good decision or bad decision, even depending on what you're writing. But I like to think that I can form a balance where I'm telling the truth all the time, and you know, if someone listens to a song, they feel they go away feeling happy, nourished. And there's a couple of songs that I've got, a couple of tear jerking songs as well. Yeah, a couple of tear jerking songs there, but I want to explore. I want to have the ability to, as a writer, I want to have the ability to explore every single emotion and attack you in that way. So it grabs you and that make you understand exactly either what I went through or what someone else is going through, or tell a story.
I suppose that's kind of hard to come across in like an EP, which is like 5 or 6 songs long. I think you've had one EP out so far, is that?
One EP, yeah. For Real Life and Not Pretend.
That's right. Have you got plans for an album where you can properly sort of demonstrate all these ranges?
It'll probably be out, like, it will be out the first quarter of next year. It was going to come out in September, but it got moved back because there's just so many songs. And there is an album there. There, sitting in my head, and there's lists, but at the moment, thank God, I've got the luxury of choice of how to make. We have got a luxury of choice, because I say it as we, as the label and our manager and everyone's involved, a luxury of choice to make a great album, but it has to be. I want it to be a body. I want it to have its head, its feet, its legs, the knees, the arms, the ears, the nose, and just the format, rather than just putting loads of great songs on it, I'd rather it go and take you through a journey, and then in that, whilst you're listening to it, you'll see me, you know, see what I've gone through or what kind of emotion I'm in. Yeah,
I look forward to hearing it,
as do I.
Thank you very much for joining us, Jody Avakus.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
This is Neil and Nick for the SRA backstage at Truck Festival with Clean Cut Kid. Hello.
Yay! Hello. Neil and Nick.
Thank you.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
Definitely the first time. But how are you enjoying the festival so far?
It's cool. It's great, man. Yeah, we've had some various food types.
Yeah.
We've had free food lunches. Free food is always good to start a festival on. Yeah, but it's cool. It's cool. Everyone's young,
which
is cool.
Have you seen the sci-fi toilets?
Haven't you?
Wow. Made this.
It's like going in a spaceship.
Yeah, it's like interstellar flush on them that they've got. Yeah man.
It's Do amazing.
It. You looking forward to playing your set a bit later?
Yeah man.
Just we planning it. Set list written out. Yeah. We brought our own printer. If you look behind.
Brilliant.
Organised.
Last weekend was the first weekend in like 10 weeks that we haven't had a festival on. So like it feels like we haven't played forever, but it's only been like.
Yeah.
10 days or something. So
how's the festival touring been going? I suppose it's quite intense at times. Obviously you had last weekend off, but
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's cool. It's like we're busy in between it. Like this week we've been in London recording, and there's just a stack of stuff to do in between as well, so it's not like you just have the weekend on and then the week off. It's like there's not even time to breathe in Clean Cut Kid at the moment. We're like, it's good.
That's a good thing. Yeah,
it's an amazing thing. Yeah, we're not complaining.
I read you played Glastonbury a few weeks ago, and I heard that the tent was as full inside as it was outside. There were more people than inside the tent, like just around the tent, trying to get in to hear you guys. How was it for you?
Ridiculous.
It was, yeah. It was
we were just like, we we literally thought there'd be like 100 people at the most. We were just like so shocked when we went out. It was just really surreal, the whole thing.
And there was
I kept expecting like halfway through to just like realise that I was just not seeing properly, and then realise there was only a couple of people there. But it was it was mad.
It was like there's always you got like expectations in your head of what and we kind of did our first few festivals last year because we'd only just signed our deal, and like you get the thing of like we had a single out and people were singing the words to us back and we were like, whoa, that's the, you know, but it just doesn't well so far it that feeling hasn't seemed to stop. Like there was people in Glastonbury who couldn't even hear the system because it was like passed out of the tent, past the bandstand, past the shops. It was just like completely solid, full of people, and they were like singing all the words of the singles back to us, and we were just like looking at each other on stage like, whoa. So yeah, amazing. It's impossible to describe in a way, but it's just amazing.
You've had quite a lot of support from radio stations like Radio 1. I think Animax has given you a lot of support. How important do you think that is to establishing yourselves as like a big band at the moment?
It's definitely not the only thing. The most important thing is building up like a live fan base, we think. But it's the single most important. It's like the singular most important thing for any new band at the moment. Especially within our genre, we've been lucky, I guess. I don't know. We don't really know what it'd be like not to be in kind of a lane where, because they took us to CMJ in New York, BBC introducing, and we headlined like Leeds and Reading introducing last year. And Hugh Stevens has picked us out to headline Latitude on Sunday. So the support continues. We're just so blessed with it, really.
You've got quite a sort of upbeat sound. Where would you say that comes from? Like, what are your influences? Where did you draw that from?
Everywhere. It's quite the way that we like arrange the band is quite a varied like mix of. I think the writing's a bit more traditional. So like, I kind of come from a pop camp of. Like a traditional pop camp of like trimming all this faff from the songs and trying to make the messages direct as possible and trying to make these small like radio friendly pop songs that don't need to be edited into that format. And then the arrangement comes from everywhere. We like big ones are like Paul Simon, Peter Gabriel, Fleetwood Mac, I guess. The arrangement side of things is I think where the Clean Cut Kid sound comes from, because it's like a purposeful hodgepodge, really. You know, it's kind of like pushing textures as far as we possibly can, because we know that the pop writing it will hold up to it, if you know what I mean. I guess that's what it comes out of.
You said you were busy recording. Have you got an album on the way?
We've kind of recorded all the songs we need to record for it. Kind of. There's maybe like one or two left. We've done like so many. We've like pretty much recorded two albums like by this time. We hope to have it out like early next year, like hopefully January, February time. It's just like getting all the last little bits together, like all the mixing and stuff like that. So.
And we're like, we think we're like an album band.
Well, I was just going to say, we actually started recording it like a year ago. So we've gradually done it like in little sections. Which has been quite cool.
It's been a long process.
But it's gonna have been worth it. I mean, it's really hard pre-album when you're just laying down loads and loads of stuff. It's kind of making your life more hectic. You're trying to line up like a track listing and an order, and we want to like the album's kind of a concept breakup album, which kind of goes over like the arc of a breakup. But trying to lay that out like that in your head when you've kind of got a major record label on your back, A&R and the whole process is actually quite difficult. So we're fighting our way through that, and kind of realised halfway through the best way to do it would be to just lay down so much stuff that we could still make a great album from any combination of all the stuff we did. It's almost there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost there.
It is, yeah. It's exciting.
A pop concept album is not something you hear of much. What was it that made you want to do that?
Just the thing that you said about the songs feeling upbeat.
We also noticed there was a theme in so many of them as well, didn't we?
Yeah, like a bunch of them that I'd actually written during a breakup, and then a bunch of them I'd written post breakup. So it was actually like a part of it is quite autobiographical. But then it was just a thing of the way we arranged the music. We think that whatever subjects we kind of we touch on in the way that and whatever way we kind of portray them, they still have an upbeat thing to them, and they also still have different levels of dynamic. So we didn't want to be, I didn't want to be limited as being like, we're an upbeat pop band, therefore we can't have a record that's one based around a theme and two kind of touches on a subject that is either miserable within our genre or it's just straight up like pop, bubblegum pop. Like, we didn't want to do that. And also, Suburbs is my, Arcade Fire Suburbs is like my favourite album of all time, and that to me is like the ultimate concept of like this tiny thing of a few kids like growing apart and this incredible epic album made about that one subject. So the first album was always going to try to be a concept kind of thing. Yeah, sorry, long answer.
No. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't really stop after festival season. You've got a tour in October, right?
Yeah.
So where can we see you?
Do you know them? Liverpool?
I know you're playing Casbar in Coventry, because that's
our local nightclub.
Coventry. Newcastle.
Bristol.
Brighton.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
London, obviously.
Oxford.
London, Dingwalls, Oxford.
Yeah, it's Oxford.
Leeds. Manchester.
Yeah. No, there isn't a Manchester one.
Because we're playing it in the city thing.
Right? Yeah, we're playing this neighbourhood festival in Manchester, so we didn't do that because it's really close. Pretty much, we're covering a big yeah. I don't know. We're not doing any Irish dates, are we?
No. Oh, Glasgow.
Yeah, we're doing Glasgow as well. Which
and
is
Nottingham at the Bodega.
Yeah, Bodega. Yeah,
and Madrid for Decode Festival with Eagles of Death Metal and Jimmy.
That's not part of the tour though.
Yeah.
James,
get yourselves to Madrid.
Yeah.
get yourselves on it.
That is like one of the last festivals, though, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Great. Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Clean Cut Kid.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Nick and Neil here with Moose Blood, who are due to be playing on the Nest stage later. How are you guys?
Very well. Thanks.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
How's your summer been so far with regards to touring and things like that?
It's not been too bad. We've been quite fairly quiet so far compared to last year, just doing a bunch of festivals in the UK, and then directly after this festival we're going to America. I'm going to start a headline run, and then it all kicks off pretty much from now, and we're non-stop almost until Christmas, and then we have a slight break and just keep going forever.
Literally forever. We drive from here to Heathrow to fly out to play a show tomorrow in Chicago, so it's going to be non-stop flight from now on, pretty much. It should be fun.
Yeah, that's very busy.
Yeah.
How do you feel like ahead of going to the States? Because that must be a big deal. Is that your first time over performing in the States or first headline tour?
It's the first full headline tour. We did a show at Chain Reaction in California, which is like a one-off headline show when we recorded the new album out there. But yeah, this is the first time doing like a full headline tour, so it's really exciting. We did Warped Tour last summer, so we're just sort of like going off the back of that and hoping that people come out, and it's been selling really well, so yeah, it should be quite cool. Busy shows.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's fun touring as well, making friends with like other people in bands, and then they're all like really stoked that you're coming back over to get to hang out with a bunch of friends, so it's fun. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Sleeping in the back of a van as well, and like bunk beds you got in the back, that's pretty cool. I like it.
Keeping it real.
So is this your first time at Truck Festival?
Yes.
Yeah.
And excited to play?
Yeah, it should be cool. Yeah, it should be good. So there's a lot going on at the moment. We've only just got here, so we're a bit like looking around, like, oh, there's everything. Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to exploring in a minute.
You were at 2000 Trees last weekend, is that right? How was that?
That was fun.
Crazy. Yeah, it was really fun. Even just like getting to watch Eddie did like an acoustic set in like literally in the forest. So getting to watch that was really cool for the rest of us. And yeah, our set was awesome. Just a packed out 10. It was really cool.
So you've been pretty busy, you said, recording a new album called Blush, I believe.
Yes.
And that's supposed to come out in the next couple of months, is that right?
Comes out in three weeks or so now.
Yeah, it's coming around.
It's all building up to that just now. Yeah.
What can you tell us about it?
That's a big question. I don't really know. It's definitely an exciting time for us now, because where we've gone, we kind of went quiet a little bit to like build anticipation, I guess, and then it's all like a strategic way to like put singles out to get like the most hype you can get out of it. We're all just really excited just to let everyone hear it, because the second we finished it, we knew that this was like the best thing we'd written at that time. And yeah, I'm really excited. It's definitely like hopefully a more mature version of what we've already got. I hope the people that like it now, like old stuff, will like the new stuff just as much. And then I don't know, it's a bit more poppy and things, so hopefully we attract more new fans. I don't know, I'm excited. It should be good. You can never really tell as well with the reaction of how it's going to go down. I don't know.
I'm excited talking about it though.
Yeah, really am.
So it's been a couple of years since I'll Keep You in Mind from time to time, which is your debut. How did you do things differently going into this new album? You said you want to appeal to like a more poppy audience at the same time as maintaining like your fans from your first album. How did you approach the second album differently to sort of accommodate both?
I don't think it was necessarily a conscious decision to make like a poppier album. We definitely became more aware as musicians how to write better songs the more we like practiced and stuff, and the more we toured together, the better understanding of each other we got as to how to play the best that we could and things. It's a really weird kind of feeling to try and sum it up and stuff. We thought a bit more about structures and things of how to lay songs out when we started on this one over last time. We had an initial idea of changing it to one specific way, and then over time whilst writing we kind of almost changed it into this new thing once we got talking to our producer Beau Birchall, who is like the saint behind the band. I think like everyone loves any sort of input he has, completely understands us, definitely kind of pushed us to get the most out of what we had ideas wise. We would often like write one song and think that we'd finished, and then he would listen back to it and be like, I feel like you could get maybe a better take out of this if you think slightly outside of the box and stuff. And so we'd go away, and we had a good structured routine after a while where once we were comfortable with what we were doing, we would almost record the drums and then like a rough guide of the guitars. Glenn would rework the drums and then we'd rework the lyrics, and sometimes we'd add another chorus like to change the whole thing around to get like the best lyrical content we could. It's definitely like more of a refined version of what we did the first time. The first time we pretty much demoed the album, and we knew what we wanted before we'd started, and he was really good at translating what we had like in our minds at the best that he could as well. This time round, yeah, so it was more, we had a bit longer. I think we had 12 days the first time round or something like that, and then this time round, yeah, and we had
days,
yeah,
a day getting there and a day coming back, pretty much. That was it.
Yeah, which was like almost, we almost did a track a day last time where it would be, you'd wake up, start the track, and then end of the day it had to be finished. And this time round we almost had like 2 days a track, and we still had time to kind of like communicate and write choruses and take days off for like breathers and things, which was way more relaxed. And then hopefully that's come out with a better like end result, I guess, now. So you'll see in 3 weeks.
Have you been like listening to anyone in particular while you've been writing this second album?
Oh man, I guess so, but it becomes kind of a blur, I think, when you kind of look for influences, because I have influences that I listened to as a kid when I was like 16 that I still listen to now, that maybe that necessarily isn't like current to anyone else, but I still have it on my phone, on my iPad and stuff like that. And
what kind of stuff?
I really like Take It Back Sunday. I think that definitely shines through everyone else. I really like personally, I really like Death Cab for Cutie and Jimmy Eat World and things like that. And I think that always kind of like subliminally transfers over. I know we were all really stoked for the 1975 record and when that came out. And I think we were demoing when that came out. We were demoing the record in England, and we put it on in the car, like all the journey there and stuff, because we would travel about an hour a day. And so we definitely gave that a good old listen to when we were demoing. But as for when we were recording, I think it's always like, you never really try and take too much in by accidentally taking ideas of other bands and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. What?
As soon as you start recording as well, you get like Beau would send us the mix of whatever song we've been working on that day. So literally, other than your own stuff, you're not really listening to anything else because it's in your head so much. Like, how can I fix this? How can I make this better or whatever? So yeah, for like a solid month, probably we would just listen to our record over and over, like demos and mixes and then the final versions. But yeah, it's pretty intense when you start doing it.
You said you recorded it in America, right?
Yes.
So how different was that to recording an album, say, in England?
We did both with Beau out in America.
Oh,
so yeah,
you
I think
prefer working over there, or
prefer work with him, really. I think it's just like what it comes down to. Like, we're really lucky that we've only really recorded with like our friend Rich, who's did our first EP and some other stuff, and some acoustic songs that are going as bonus tracks on this record. And then, when we first recorded with Beau, it was like, it just clicked straight away that we wanted to work with him. So it made perfect sense for the second record as well to do it with him.
Great stuff. Well, one last question. We got a friend who's couldn't come in with us, unfortunately, but she's a big fan of Moose Blood, and she wanted to specifically ask what the song Gum is about. Could you shed some light onto that for us?
I can't, actually, because it's Eddie that wrote the lyrics.
But... I mean, I kind of like the however cliche and like not really the correct answer that you want to hear, but I kind of like it when if you know like a little bit about the story of what the song's about, if you kind of keep it as your own, and then it becomes like your own song. And then that becomes more personal to you as an individual and things like that. I remember listening to a Newfound Glory interview and hearing that as well, for like Catalyst. And I remember loving that album and not knowing what any of the tracks meant. So that's kind of like a, I don't know, it's sort of stuck in my head. So maybe that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Mooseblood.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Nick and Neil at Truck Festival here with DMAs. Hello.
How's it going?
How you going?
Right, so, how are you enjoying the festival so far? I know you've only just got here, but how'd you like the look of it?
Oh, it's been all right. We played here last year, actually. It was like one of the first festivals we played in UK when we came here. And it feels weird. It's been a quick year, you know. But yeah, I think last year we played here with, I think, in between Jaws and Rat Boy or something like that, but on the same stage, so it's nice to be back a little bit later.
Not a bad couple of bands to be in between, I suppose.
Well, it was the first time we met those guys, and it's been nice coming back, because we've been back so many times over the past 12 months, to kind of meet some other bands, and you run into them at other festivals and stuff like that, yeah.
How has the festival circuit been going for you so far this summer? Have you been busy?
Yeah, really busy. So we came in...
You were in Tinder Park last week.
That's right.
My friends saw you and he said you were very good, he really enjoyed it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it was sitting down with rain. Yeah, it was pretty hectic. But it was a good set, that was really great. Because basically we were over here and we did like maybe only like 5 dates in the UK, then we went to America for 6 weeks, did a bit of Europe, then went back to his home for like, did the Australian tour for like three weeks, maybe a month, and then came back, and then like 2 days later our first gig back here was Glastonbury, which was like hectic, and then did a couple of few festivals in Germany and the Netherlands. It's all been really cool.
How was Glastonbury?
It was really good, man. It was weird because we were on that stage that gets announced at like 2 p.m.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah. So like it wasn't like we weren't announced till like 2 p.m. the day of, so like we couldn't tell anyone the stuff that we were playing and whatnot. But the but yeah, the response was great, and like, but to be honest, like coming in was really hectic, and we bought Wellingtons before we came in. And we were like laughing at our tour manager, like going, ah, well, you know, it can't be that ridiculous. And then, you know, 25 minutes later, we're like, the 5 of us in the, like, pushing the car out of a bog, got bogged twice trying to get in. Went and like, ate some like pretty terrible food, and then played the gig and bailed 20 minutes after.
You couldn't stand to stick around after it.
Well, to be honest, we had to fly to Heathrow to go play this German festival next day, yeah. But that's alright, I'm kind of used to like not sticking around festivals now, even though I kind of want to most of the time. And stop looking at lineups, like if you ever get put on a good lineup, you don't even like, oh sweet, like, you know, the Pixies or the Stone Roses are playing, and you're just like, oh, alright, I'm not going to see them.
So you released your debut album in 2016, is that right?
Yeah, in February this year.
Happy with the response? I listened to it the other day, really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Happy with how it went down?
Yeah. Well, I think when you're a young band, and especially even being like not being from, you know, UK or Europe and being so far away, I think people are still just discovering it for the first time, and this run and playing festivals like this and we got Latitude tomorrow, so like, and I think stuff like that is it's important for us to come here, and we've been playing lots of like kind of more rural towns as well, which has kind of been interesting. But but yeah, like I said, people are still discovering for the first time. But so far, you know, we're happy with the response. We recorded all ourselves, which is what we wanted to do for like our first release, you know. So like, yeah, we can't complain.
Do you tour much on the Australian circuit?
Well, last year I think we played in London more times than we did in Sydney.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but kind of weird. But also like, if you imagine being like in Australia and touring there, unless you're gonna like go and hit all like the rural like cities or like stuff like that, you're probably just gonna like really do 6 major capitals, and then, you know, and then there's not really much more you can do after that. Otherwise you're just gonna like, anywhere you're from, if you're playing every week there, you just exhaust the market and there's no point playing there. It's like when you're a young band and you first start out, I've been heaps of bands before, and like your mates come to you, like your first three gigs, but then it's kind of hard to pull them thereafter, you know what I mean? So,
was it a conscious decision to try and establish yourselves overseas, perhaps in Europe and America first before Australia?
No, it was more of a conscious decision that we didn't play gigs for 3 or 4 years, and we just wrote tunes. So like pretty much from the age of like maybe 22 to 25 or whatever. I'm like 27 now, but we wrote nearly like 40 or 50 songs, and started getting played on Australian radio before we ever played a gig. And there was one thing that we didn't want to overplay, and when you actually play the gig, we want people to be intrigued by it, and want to get down. You know, like I said, we didn't really want to overexhaust any market.
You've had a lot of comparisons to Britpop artists. Is that something you'd agree with?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a favourite?
I actually like the Jesus Mary Chain. They're probably one of my favourite bands out. Massive fan of The Lars. The Verve as well. You know, obviously, like, growing up, like, the first bands I got into. We had, like, a group of friends at school, which not many people were kind of listening to that style of music at high school, but I had a bunch of mates who play in other bands now, and like Tom, who I went to school with, you know, and Gabby from Jaguar Mar, like we all kind of grew up together, and we had this small group of friends who kind of all listened to, you know, lots of those bands, and like I said, you know, it's different, like growing up here, it's just like, it's probably in your household or whatever playing, you know, but for us, we were kind of intrigued by it, and especially with the internet coming out, the access to it was so easy, so yeah. Yeah, we when we first started releasing tunes and playing live, there weren't really any bands in Australia as well that were kind of doing that sound. So I guess that's how it kind of got noticed a bit.
What's next for you guys? So you've obviously just released your album. Are you going to be touring that? Obviously after festival season, have you got much plans for the new year?
Well, the new year for us kind of enters the festival season in Australia. Right, because it's Christmas and then summer starts in December. So we'll play a few, like, we'll do a few festivals over, we're going to go back and do Splendor in the Grass now, and then, but over that summer break, we're going to do the odd festival, but mainly just write and get back into writing again. I've kind of missed it, to be honest. Me personally, I'm more in my element, kind of hidden away in the studio and knocking stuff out and really putting like hours in that regard. But it's all, you know, it's like, it's all a part of it. The grass is always greener, you know. If you've been cooped up in the studio for too long, you want to be touring again. And then if you've just been playing gigs for like 18 months straight, which we have pretty much, you want to, you're pretty keen for a break. But I think we get a month off in September. We come back here in November, October. And then we'll probably get like a few months off over the Australian Christmas, see our family and stuff like that.
Well, one last question, just purely out of interest. Did you see Noel Gallagher's reaction to you as a band, and what did you think of that?
I've heard about it a lot, which is pretty funny, because, you know, I enjoyed it, because he was kind of the context in which it was taken in. He was kind of having a laugh at himself, and then kind of from there, it spiraled into, you know, as publications do, they quote what they want to quote. But it was funny, in an Australian interview, someone asked him if he said, have you heard of DMAs? He goes, no. He goes, oh, people say they sound like Oasis and they're playing at the Governor's Ball with you in New York. And he's like, oh, they sound like Oasis, I'll have to boo them, you know, which is cool, I think, you know. As he's kind of like well known for having a laugh at himself, and I think more people should have a laugh at themselves anyway.
I think that's a good thing. You know, you're like doing well if Noel Gallagher's got a problem with you or something like that.
Well, I don't know if he's heard the music yet, you know. So if he's heard it, you know, that'd be cool. If not, you know, I'm gonna wake up in the morning, still have breakfast.
Right, well, fantastic. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, dude. Thank you.
This is Neil and Nick backstage at Truck Festival in Oxford for the SRA. We're here with Spring King. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
How are you enjoying the festival so far?
Good. We got here about 2 hours ago, I think. I've already had a walk around,
there's loads of cool food stalls and there's like loads of stages. It's good, yeah, and it's a nice day as well.
And how's the festival touring been going?
So far, so good. We haven't had any problems yet, have we?
No. Where did Touch we get? We did in Scotland. We did Tea in the Park. It was absolutely mental. It was like my favourite festival we've played so far this year. We were on like quite early in the day, so I didn't expect much of a crowd, but we actually got like quite a big crowd and people went mad, so that was good fun.
Mm. There's a lot of hype surrounding you guys at the moment, and particularly with your debut album, one of the biggest debut albums of the year, Tell Me If You Like To. Did you feel that pressure when you were releasing and writing that album?
I don't know, I think we just kind of like, we went to the studio maybe like September last year. I think we just wanted to make the album that we wanted to make. I think we only had a couple of weeks to get it all together, and like I think we're all pretty happy with the way it came out, so it's been really nice to have. We've had like a lot of positive feedback about it, which is great, and I think a lot of socials have had a lot of like really positive messages from people and stuff. That's all we could ever ask for, really, like, so yeah.
I didn't really feel there was a pressure. I just thought, let's just put out the album finally. Let's finally get our ish together.
That's good,
we're happy.
Because it's almost a year ago, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but since Zane Lowe played City as his very first song on Beats 1, how big do you think that was for Spring King as a band?
I think that's definitely one of the biggest moments that have happened to us. Like, things were going well for us anyway. Like, we were touring with Courtney Barnett and stuff around that time. We've been to CMJ in America, and we did Austin. We did the South by Southwest. So things were going quite well for us. But when the Beats 1 thing happened, it just kind of like accelerated the pace of it all. So yeah, I can't believe. Yeah, we celebrated like the year anniversary of it quite recently. Yeah, it was, but so much has happened in a year as a result of that. It was definitely one of the biggest things for the band so far.
And how was touring with Courtney Barnett?
That was amazing, because I'm like a huge... Well, we're all huge fans of her music anyway, so when we got the invite, it was kind of a dream come true. Also, for us, it was like quite a big step up, because before then, we'd only played like smallish club-style venues, like 200 capacity, but with her, we were in front of like, you know, between 800 and 1,500 people all of a sudden. So it was quite a big learning curve for us, but I think we learned a lot from that, and I think we gained a lot of fans as well.
Because you played the Live Lounge as well in the past week, and you did an Adele cover. Would you say that Adele is an influence of you guys, or is it just something interesting to do as you would in BBC Radio 1 Live Lounge?
I think we just wanted to do something different, and that song is definitely a catchy song. The lyrics in that song kind of, you know, she always writes about love or heartbreak, and that's something that kind of influences our lyrics as well in a lot of the music. So we just, out of, you know, all the songs that are out there, we thought the Adele one, that'd be a cool song to do, and you know, just to flip it over. It's completely different to the original, and we wanted to do it in our own style, and it was so polar opposite to what we do, so you know, felt good to do that one.
I like it. What I like about Adele as well is, like, besides the music, she's quite an approachable person. And I think that we try and keep that similar vibe, really, try and connect with fans as much as we can, and just we're on a level with them, kind of thing, hopefully.
I mean, we're incredibly weird and unapproachable in that sense. Try and be as weird as everybody else.
What other influences would you say you have as a band?
All sorts. I think we all come from all different kind of backgrounds. I know we're all big like Beach Boys fans, things like The Clash, all those classic old British punk bands. Andy's a massive jazz head. Like
jazz.
Yeah. Nice.
Let's say it right.
But yeah, and also like we're all just big fans of melodies and songs, whatever genre they sort of come from. So we've all drawn from a lot of the same kind of influences, and hopefully brought something together that's kind of makes sense at all. But yeah.
That definitely comes across, particularly with your latest single, The Summer, as well. Is it fitting that you released it now? Did you do it on purpose, just to coincide with?
Well, it just made sense that it came out next after a Rectifier for us, and we were like, oh, it's The Summer, let's just put it out then anyway, because that The Summer actually was written years ago, like the chorus, so you know, yeah, that was never that, you know, that was before we even were planning to put out any music, really. It was just in the early days in my house, so yeah, it's just been, luckily it fitted the timing, you know, except in Australia where it's winter right now, so yeah, it's a bit different there. But yeah, no, that song is like a bit of a shout out to like Brian Wilson and that whole like 60s pop melodies kind of thing, you know. It's definitely one of our more poppy tracks, but you know, that was, yeah, it was just a bit of a moment to be, to kind of, I don't know, like, just an inspiration from the Beach Boys and stuff like that. You know, it all went in there, and even Bruce Springsteen a little bit, you know, so, yeah, meant to that.
Would you say you have a favourite song off the album?
I guess favourite one to play is probably Tell Me If You Like To, but just because it's so direct. My dad always said it sounds like a chords track or something like that, you know, like proper 2 minute punk.
Yeah.
I don't know everyone else.
My personal favourite is It's So Dark, definitely. It's the lyrics and the arrangement of the song itself. I really love that one. That's going to be good and live.
Is it hard to transfer the songs to a live setting at all?
I think we try and put them out there in its own way. So, like, you know, we'll listen to recordings and go, okay, well, that's there and that's there. But then, you know, live, for me personally, I always want it to be another experience completely. And I think live we're actually more intense than we are on record. We have a, you know, it's a different type of energy, which hopefully you'll see today. For me, it's not like a massive thing, but I guess I just play the drums, so I just hit things, you know. It's not, I think these guys have it a bit more difficult.
we have got written down how hard is it to play drums and sing at the same time.
It used to be really hard, but now I'm used to it. But, you know, there are moments where I get my words twisted in on my tongue, and then I'm like, oh shit, and then I kind of slip up. But yeah, I'm used to it now, so it's good fun.
Yeah,
very good health benefits. Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. I suppose finally, what are the plans post summer festival? I think you're going to Australia in the next couple of days as well.
Tomorrow morning. Wow. Yeah. So no, very few beers tonight.
And then we're going to Europe in September. Playing in Hamburg at Reeper Barn, Berlin, Paris, Lille, and Brussels, and Netherlands as well, at Utrecht.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a UK tour in October, like everywhere, basically. As many shows as we can play. I think there's about 20.
Something like that, yeah. And then hopefully back to the States by the end of the year. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
If we could do that, although we'd all hate each other. We already hate each other.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
This is Nick and Neil for the SRA with the excellent Sandora Karma.
Yo.
Hello.
How are you guys? How's the festival circuit been treating you?
It's good. Yeah, it's really good, man. What we've done thus far, we've done Glasgow, which was nuts. We did Blissfields.
110 above.
110
above. Mental.
And we've got like Reading coming up, which will be wicked. We're doing one in Romania, which will be fun. Apparently the hotel there's a swimming pool.
Yeah.
So that's the highlight. That's what we're looking forward to the most. I think out of everything this summer, it's the hotel with a swimming pool.
Is it your first time at Truck Festival?
It is, yeah. But we're quite local to here, so all of our mates, like. Actually, all of our mates are here today,
yeah.
And a lot of our mates have been in the past. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Strong crowd.
Hopefully, yeah, it's picking up a little bit. As you know, I think the more drunk people get, is always works.
You'd be surprised. Mr. Motivator had thousands of people out this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fair.
Yeah. For some. Early
well, maybe it's because they were still drunk.
Yeah. Carrying the night on.
I suppose a good starting point is the name, because Sandora Karma, I think, is an excellent name. How did you come up with it? What does it mean?
It means beautiful karma, and I think it just worked for us, you know. I don't really know what else to say.
No, that's all I asked for, really. That's it's great.
And another good thing is you're, I think, currently, or at least you were very recently, on the Radio 1 B list. That's right. How does that feel? That must be quite cool.
It's cool.
Surreal.
It's pretty nuts. Actually. It's great. Yeah. I think it means more to our mums than it does to us.
Yeah.
But it's nice turning on the radio and hearing your track. It's pretty cool. And it's nice to have Radio 1 on board. That's that's a big help.
How has that support helped you as a band?
There's definitely been a pickup. And I guess that's in relation to being on the B list, as well as sort of organic growth, you know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we haven't been on the B list until now, so
yeah.
So the organic growth before
Berkshire since we were 17.
Yeah. Berkshire, Linderstirk. Big up Linderstirk.
Babe.
So you recently did a headline tour with Beach Baby, but you've got another headline tour coming up in
September.
September,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we do. Which should be fun. We've actually, in between the Beach Baby tour, which we did with Brian Avon, as well, we had a tour with a band called In Heaven. That was a lot of fun. We're playing all the places that we didn't play on the last tour. And at the moment, we're mainly playing like uni towns and stuff. So the kids that come down are pretty full on. And I think the September tour is just going to be more of that, to be honest. Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's nice.
Is it you coming anywhere near Warwick or Coventry?
I don't know. I mean, I should know where we're going. I have.
That would be good for us, basically.
Okay.
Coventry.
I mean, I don't know. I should.
We'll have to get back to.
I don't even know. Are we doing Liverpool?
I think we are doing Liverpool.
Yeah, now we're doing Liverpool.
I think we're doing Liverpool. A couple of hours after Liverpool. I noticed on your Facebook that you hand out a mobile number for people to WhatsApp you.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like, what's the idea behind that?
I guess it's just Well, Ali's your man to go to for that. He's in charge of the Sundara phone.
Turn the phone on every now and then and just reply to anyone who's text us.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea.
But you've forgotten the phone today, did you say?
Yeah, I forgot. We forget a lot of stuff.
I noticed also you had a Spotify playlist as well that's constantly updating, so you've got various things from Michael Jackson and Earth, Wind & Fire to things like Gorillaz, Grimes. Does this reflect your real range of interest in music and influences?
Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, yeah, it's just a playlist of, you know, just songs that you can listen to. Like, I mean, it's not, you know, sort of set out differently. It's just a big accumulation of songs I've been listening to, we've all been listening to, and that. So, it's just a cool little playlist you can listen to when you're doing your run or your morning training or something. I don't know.
What's next for Sundara Khan? You got plans for an album?
No.
Nah.
Tucking it in.
Yeah, retire. And
you've made the Radio 1 playlist.
Yeah, you can quit.
Just rest
on our laurels. Yeah, we do. We have an album coming out. I think it's going to be more towards the end of the year now. But, you know, it's done. We can't really do, you know, there's nothing more we can do to it.
Just got to sit on it.
We just got to sit on it and kind of create a fan base that wants to listen to it and not lose any fans from now till it comes out. So no one do anything outrageous. No one get arrested for dirty crimes.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Sundara Khan, and have a great set later.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
This is Nick and Neil again for the SRA with Sam Henshaw.
Hello.
You're just fresh from the stage, from the market stage, and really energetic, really enjoyable set, really hot set.
Very hot.
How was it for you?
It was really good. It was, as you said, very hot. It was amazing. The crowd was awesome and everyone vibed out. Even the people sitting down were like vibing, which was cool as well. Yeah, it was just cool. It was nice. Like, the weather's been amazing as well, so it was just a really, really nice environment and just vibe. Yeah, everyone loved it.
Have you been touring festivals much this year?
Yes, we've kind of been on the road since I started my tour in, God, I don't know, I think, what month are we in? July?
Yeah.
Lose track of days.
I think it's been end of April, beginning of May up until now, so we've kind of been going for about maybe three months. So yeah, we're gonna keep going until like November. So it's been a good problem to have.
Yeah, yeah,
we've had
yeah.
a nice run of shows. But yeah, I'm feeling it now. I'm starting to feel the old age at 22.
And so your backing band is The Sound Experiment.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's
yes.
made up of your friends from school, I believe.
Yeah, friends from school, friends from church. We all just kind of grew up with each other and stuff. Friends from uni and stuff like that. Yeah, everyone just, we all kind of, I knew three of them from when I was like, two of them from when I was tiny. One of them I met when I was about, I don't know, like 10, 11. And the rest, yeah, we just all brought everyone kind of in. And yeah, now we're just like this massive family.
It certainly seems to fit the live setting, having that backing band.
Yeah, it does. I think because we interact so much on stage, we probably didn't do it as much today because we're trying to like figure out what we're doing. But because we interact so much, I feel like I would rather do that with people that I knew really well rather than try and force the interaction with someone I didn't know, do you know what I mean? So, but it works well because we know each other and we know what works for each other and what, yeah, so it's great. Mm-hmm. There's a relationship off stage as well as on.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've just put an EP out as well.
I did yesterday, yeah. Second one. I'm kind of like,
The Sound Experiment 2?
Sound Experiment 2. I'm just not good with names. I name everything the Sound
with
Experiment.
Two M's.
Yeah, it's horrible names. But, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was crazy. We started working on that. I was sort of working on songs right after the first one, because I'd worked 3 years on the first one, so I was like, okay, once that's out, anything else that I want to make is going to whatever we make next. So I just started working on new songs, and they all just kind of, I was really like stuck because I just felt like I wasn't going to be able to come up with any new songs. And I think I took a trip to America, to New York, and we just kind of, I had like, I think one or two songs before, one half done, and by the end of it, like by the beginning of this year, January, we went to New York and we just kind of banged out like a load of songs and we're like, cool, we've got an EP, let's just go with it. So yeah, it was really cool.
What was it about New York that you think, I don't know, sort of fed that, like your influences and that creativity?
I think it was the people, it was the fact that it was a completely different environment. Trying something very different as well, and just, yeah, I think it was just that. It was just like really being in a different environment, really being surrounded by people that sort of, we all got on and we all had sort of the same idea and of where we were headed and stuff. And so, excuse me, we created those songs in America and just kind of finished them off while we were in England. But yeah, it was, yeah.
What can we expect to be different between the Sound Experiment 2 and the Sound Experiment 1?
I think better quality altogether, yeah. So better quality in production. I think with the Sound Experiment 1, I had worked on it, as I said, for 3 years, so what you got was where I was at about 3 years ago, years before it came out. So that was just like in terms of production, in terms of songwriting and just how new I was to the whole thing. This Sound Experiment this time around is a bit more, the production quality is a lot better, the writing quality is a lot better. Like it's more of like an evolution. It's just kind of like you've seen where I went from and where I'm at now. And and then I guess the next body of work will be where I'm at then. So it's just kind of bringing you along with sort of my progression and stuff, yeah.
And I know obviously you've just released an EP literally in the past couple of days, but yeah. Have you got your sort of thoughts on a potential album in the future, in the near future?
Yeah, of course. I mean, album's always kind of the end goal.
It's going to be called The Sound Experiment by any chance?
I'm done with this. Done. Fed up of it. I'm not doing any, like, as far as I know, I'm not trying to do any more sound experiments. So I will not ever say never, but I'm like 90% certain there will not be another sound experiment. But I am just working on songs and music at this point in time, and just trying to bring in more followers and just get more people into, because a lot of people are asking about an album, but I don't know, I just feel like I need to get have people a bit more familiar with the stuff, and at the same time also just have a few more songs that I'm really, really happy with before going, yeah, let's put out an album. So it's just kind of being more confident in that one. Yeah.
On the topic of your audience, you really like to get them involved during your live set. Why is that? Do you?
I hate going to gigs myself and feeling like I'm just listening to someone sing at me for like 2-3 hours, however long it is. I grew up in church as well, so in church it's a community and everyone's involved, and there's this beautiful thing that I love about worship when everyone sings. It's not just like the person on stage singing, it's like everyone, the congregation, the people in the crowd, everyone is singing. And I love that sound. And I kind of just, yeah, I, for me, it's just kind of like, I really want to see people. It's not, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm not on the stage to make myself feel happy. I am doing it so that other people can enjoy themselves and other people can be happy. So, yeah, that's kind of why, that's pretty much why I get people involved in it. So,
you definitely did that really well earlier. People came out of the tent singing
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. Yeah, it was good.
You said that you get influence from the church, yeah. And I think it's safe to say you've got an abundance of soul as well.
thank you.
What are your musical influences?
It's a lot. But I listen to so much music. I'm currently listening to a dude called Chris Stapleton, who's a country singer and just out of this world. I do listen to a lot of country. Yeah, I love the writing, and I think I listen to different styles for different reasons. But yeah, who else? Justin Timberlake, you can't go wrong with a bit of JT. I can't even think off the top of my head. Do you know what? I got into Foles recently because I went to the NME Awards not long ago, and I saw them perform. I was like, Jesus, like, you guys are insanely good. And so yeah, Foles are wicked. They're wicked. I love them. Who else? The 1975 are dope. I love the 1975. I love what they do.
We've had a few people saying that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I think I don't know. I think for them it's like you really it's got a sort of, I feel like they grow on you. I feel like they're that sort of group that either you love it or they just grow on you. But I don't feel like you can ever say you hate it. I don't know, that's just me.
I think I'd agree with that. Yeah.
But for me, I sort of like the first song I heard was Chocolate, and I was just like, oh, come on, like, how can you hate this? It's like 80s pop. It's like, it's brilliant. But yeah, they're cool. There's so many, I can't even think. I mean, I listen to a lot of rap music. Mos Def's great. Chance the Rapper is great as well.
Are you touring with Chance the Rapper?
Now with him in November, which is I still can't believe we're doing that. Like, it's really like, and I look at the people we've opened for, and it's been so different each time. We did James Bay last year, Tory Kelly this year, and then we're ending this year with Chance the Rapper. And it's just like, it's insane. But yeah, I'm really grateful, and it's been fun. But all those people I listen to, so gives you a bit of an idea of my styles and tastes and influences.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck with the rest of the tour and with future sound experiments as well.
We are definitely going to avoid. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam Henshaw. This is Neil and Nick backstage at Truck Festival for the SRA. We're here with Beach Baby. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How's the festival touring been going?
Good. It's only our second one, unless you count the Great Escape. So yeah, it's number two really. But today, I don't know, it felt like the first proper, not to do down Blissfields. Lovely, lovely, lovely festival, lovely people. But first proper festival. It was really sunny. It was quite a lot of people. People dance.
Yeah, it seemed like a perfect atmosphere for you guys. Perfect sound for a day like this. Beautiful weather and people dancing, having a good time. It looked like you guys were having a great time as well up there.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah,
what a lovely day.
It was. Yeah, my first experience of having the. I don't know if it's, you've probably done it in other bands, but doing the proper big stage, sunny, people dancing kind of festival.
Yeah, like an outdoor kind of thing.
We did like Field Day and Latitude last year, but the stages weren't quite as big. So yeah, it was fun.
How was that playing on a bigger stage to a greater amount of people outdoors as well? Was that a different experience, weird experience for you guys?
Yeah,
it is a bit different.
It was a bit different
than indoors.
I kept sort of thinking of coverage, BBC coverage of festivals, because that's what you normally see, or when you see it from the band's point of view.
So you were just having the wind in your face as well. It's so epic.
Yeah, it was quite an epic experience, and it's still new for us. So yeah, it was great.
What do you think of Truck so far?
Seems pretty cool. Really nice. Really nice vibe. We walked around this morning. We were saying it seemed really chilled in a really nice way this morning.
Yeah, it's quite relaxed in a way. It's quite nice.
We were at Lovebox last night, the atmosphere there was a very different, really aggro kind of muscly dudes with their tops off on pills.
It's kind of scary.
Today was nice. And when we went on tour, our last tour, loads of kids after the show were always like, oh, you're playing at Truck, we're going to come see you. You know, it's obviously a really big festival, sort of indie bands and stuff, which was nice. And I could see some of them actually in the audience. It was cool.
Yeah, you really had the crowd going at certain points there. There was a bit of moshing going on, a bit of singing along. That must feel quite nice as a band.
How did that make you feel, Kit?
Yeah, that's a first for me, actually. Yeah. That was pretty exciting, yeah. Well, I used to play in old bands and stuff, but never quite got that kind of response. But it's really exciting.
Yeah, it was good. It was one of the... it was cool. That really helped add to the feeling of, I'm playing a festival.
Yeah.
It was nice.
But for you personally, Kit, you said this was your second gig with the band. Going straight into like big venues like this, playing to big audiences, that must be... Is that nerve-wracking or is that just exciting for you?
Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, I have to say. It was quite... But, I mean, I've played shows before and maybe not anything like this. No main stage kind of stuff. But I'm not like, I've played a show before, so it's kind of the next step, I guess.
It's not a gig virgin.
Yeah, gig virgin. Unfortunately.
You know, it would be sexier.
Yeah, it'd be new, amazing.
I was a bit nervous for this one, to be honest, because it's funny how quickly you lose your kind of gig readiness. We've been touring quite a lot this year, but we haven't played consistently for a while, so it's like the festival season's a bit more patchy, at least it is for us.
You've just released the video for your new single, You Are, which is a re-recording of an older song you did. What was it that made you want to re-record it?
It was a sort of big band decision that. That song, the original recording, is really old. It's from we recorded it now, probably about 3, maybe 4 years ago in the summer. 3 years ago, around now. And we sort of felt like we moved past it quite a lot in terms of the way it was. The instrumentation is quite softly played. I really didn't like the lyrics or the way the vocal was delivered in the old version. I'm sure lots of people do like that and that's cool, but it wasn't for us. So I rewrote the lyrics and we just gave it a bit more bottle. And it sits for us much better now within everything else that we're doing.
You've got quite a distinct sound for a band. How important do you think that is as an up-and-coming band to have such a distinct sound that sets you apart from lots of other bands at the moment?
It's that's the thing, isn't it? If you don't have a distinct sound, then you're going to sound run-of-the-mill. At the same time, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into we're Beach Baby and we sound like this, so we'll only ever write songs like that.
I think in any band you sort of end up sounding like your influences to some extent, even if you don't mean to. It always sort of creeps in a little bit and then you end up kind of trying to sound like whatever your favourite band is, basically.
Yeah, it's so funny, that's what a band, it's like a sort of synergy. It's like the meeting point of four people is what comes out, and it depends on those four people whether you have a distinct sound or not. It's all a crazy alchemy. I think it is really important, but I think it's also important to be aware that your sound can evolve and become distinct in all sorts of other ways.
What's coming up next for Beach Baby? What are the plans after this? Are you doing more touring, I assume, after this gig?
Over the summer we're doing Reading and Leeds, Number 6, Field View, a few others. But the big plans are the album release, which we announced just like last week. Like 4 days ago. We've got an album coming out called No Mind, No Money, which we recorded most of last summer and some of the beginning of this year. It's got 11 tracks on it. Pretty excited about that. It's going to be on record, it's going to be on CD, it's going to be on the old iTunes store.
Yeah, it's good. I've heard it. Sounds good.
It's good, I've heard it. You've got to remember the kit's new. I've actually listened to it, it's alright actually. Yeah, it's not bad. So that's the most, that for any band I think is obviously when you get to release your album. I mean, who buys it and how well it does, I have no idea. But you kind of don't really think about it. It's just, it's coming up through Ireland and then we're going on a big tour. Going to America for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and then we're going to do a UK tour of 2 weeks. We've got a Scala launch show. Yeah, and then
a bit of Europe.
Going to Vienna and Germany a lot and Rotterdam.
Brussels.
We've got sort of 48, I think it's like 48, 50 dates booked.
Busy. Yeah, that's a very busy year.
Yeah, it will be a busy run into the end of 2016.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Yeah,
this is Neil and Nick backstage at Truck Festival with the SRA, here with Mystery Jets. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
So, you have recently released your new album, Curve of the Earth. What's that been like? It's quite a varied album, isn't it?
Well, it's probably our most concise album.
Yeah, I would agree with Caps. I think we kind of, we built it in a certain way so that hopefully it kind of makes sense as a whole, but perhaps we failed, I don't know.
It was one of my favourite albums of the year so far, actually, okay. So I don't think so. It just, for me, it seemed like there were various influences in that album. Like, there's the song 1985 that sounds like it was heavily influenced by Radiohead, and there's also the song Taken by the Tide, which sounds very much like The Antlers as well. I wondered if these were certain influences that you had when making the album.
Not really, actually, no. We were listening to a lot of music, but I don't think we kind of borrowed too heavily or referenced too strongly any number of acts, really. Sure. I think the main influence for us was kind of looking back at our own experiences of the last 10 years and really trying to make a record that was very autobiographical and true to what the last decade of being a Mystery Jet has been all about. So in that way, it's quite inward looking.
Sure.
I think previous records we've done have sort of looked to Neil Young or kind of Crosby, Stills and Nash, or the Backstreet Boys, yeah. But I think this time it was very much an autobiographical thing, and we didn't really need to sort of go elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we it's the first time we had our own studio, really, since making Dens, but this time we knew how to use it. And we kind of locked ourselves away, and it was just the four of us, you know. Usually we kind of, like, we go somewhere and we immerse ourselves in the environment and we listen to the songs around us and what that, like when we went to Redlands, when we went to Texas, and we were surrounding ourselves with a lot of, like, American folk and Americana and country music. This record's really about, like as Will was saying, it's about us, and, you know, we're adults now. We don't really need to look outwards anymore, you know, and to try and find things to talk about or write about. We've had a fair share of experiences, you know, so.
You spent 4 years since Radlands preparing Curve of the Earth that you released this year. Was that entire time spent focusing on this album? Like, how do you feel that time that you spent, that 4 years, is reflected in the new album?
Well, I think unintentionally we spent the whole time making this record, you know, because the record was only going to be made until it was finished, until it was ready. And a lot of things happened since Radlands, like Kai, our bass player, who was a founding member, decided it was enough for him, and he was going off to do his own thing. So, and then also we had to build our own studio from scratch, which was this disused button factory, which was full of junk and rubbish, and was just like, what we got in there and we set up our equipment, it took us ages, and when we finally got there, I was like, we're never going to make a record in this space, it's not going to happen. But we did. I feel like all those things led to the record being the way it is, you know, all those experiences.
Also, after Radlands had come out and after we finished touring it, we found ourselves in a position where we were unsigned and also unpublished. So we were kind of, we were unattached, we were just sort of floating on our own little sort of puddle of friends and social influences and musical influences, you know. We had no kind of deadlines or nothing, we weren't obliged to do anything. And I think that losing an original member, Kai, and also kind of all of us being in the approach to our 30s, kind of, it was like being out in the wilderness, really. It was like we were kind of a bit lost for a while, but I think eventually we pulled it together and started writing more and more frequently and getting our ideas together. And I think, as it turns out, being lost can actually be a really good place as an artist. You know, you can kind of hopefully discover something that's your own. And I think with Curve of the Earth, whatever sort of people say about it, I think at least it's an album which is our most sort of, it's the most uniquely Mystery Jets record, I think. You know, there's, you hear stuff on 21 and you can hear the kind of 80s influence. You hear stuff on Making Dens and you can hear the sort of influence of progressive rock or the early Pink Floyd. And likewise, Radlands, you can hear that Americana sound. But I think with Curve of the Earth, although there are certain nods to other bands and places, I think it's you know, if anything, uniquely sort of our own record, I hope anyway.
Because I think following on from that, this is your fifth proper album. How do you feel like you've progressed since the first one? I know you said it's your most concise, but how do you feel like over the years that you've progressed as a band and changed in terms of your sound?
I think it's either there or it isn't in the music, and there's five records. There's about 60 or 70 tracks there, starting in 2005 and going on to 2016, and the progression's there or it's not. I mean, it's not really for us to say. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, we've progressed fantastically, we've done this and that. I mean, I'll keep all that stuff to myself, you know. I mean, it's, I don't want to sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet.
I think one of the things is
we've tried
when you get older, when you're a youngster, you kind of, because you maybe haven't lived that much and you haven't gone through so many things, you do look at your surroundings and you pluck things from around you. But I feel like as you've lived a little bit, you no longer feel the need to do that, and in doing so, you have a lot more like confidence in what you have to say, yeah, rather than what interpreting other influences and stuff. You know, you're an adult. You know, you've kind of like, you don't have to try and copy anything or try to do or be anything else. So I think I think this record's the first time we've actually just like cut ourselves from everything else and just been us, you know? That's how it's progressed, I think. And also, like, going back, like, not having a record deal, not having a publishing deal, it's like,
and you kind of puts the fear into you.
Yeah,
actually,
you're approaching 30, you're just like, you either have to like give it up and get a day job, or like dig deeper and just make it work. And that's what made the record, I think, as cheesy as that sounds.
One last thing, what's next for Mystery Jets? What do you have on the horizon?
We've got a
tour in September, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Our manager would have shouted. Yeah, go on, you know more about the details.
UK tour.
I know you're playing
Get yourself a ticket.
Which is local for us.
Yeah, we're doing lots of smaller towns, which is really fun. We like to do that. Yeah, we like to kind of get out into the country and sort of, you know, say hello to people.
I appreciate that. That's on our doorsteps. That's convenient for us. So, see you there.
Yeah. I think also we're just going to, it's really all about the music and you know, following that and seeing where that takes us. So that's the future, really, new music.
All right, well, fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Good ads.